Last orders at the bar, please.
Welcome to Tavern Tales, a curated 5e Dungeons & Dragons adventure set in the Tales of the Yawning Portal campaign module by Wizards of the Coast.
Previously on Tavern Tales, our heroes have managed to deal with Sir Bluto and his men. Likely not in the way the adventure was intended, but still, they have broken bread, and a long rest was shared.
Come sit down and drink with the enemy, raise a glass and toast to the enemy, and I'm not gonna do this on my own. So come sit down and laugh with the enemy, raise a glass and sing to the enemy, and I'm not gonna do this on my own. So I won't end up being alone, 'cause I won't drink my drink alone. So what about you? One beer or two, I'll drink to you.
And so, we found our heroes bedded down for a rest, with murderers, cutthroats, and thieves. And as much as Sir Bluto is charming and ingratiating, and as much as Zufus was assured of his innocence, Sir Bluto was, in fact, convicted as the Red River Mass murderer. So there is no doubt that the entire party slept with one eye open, and at one point during the night, there was a rasp of steel on stone, causing Vulcan to worriedly murmur from a light slumber.
I'm trying to sleep.
Predeceased by all the other things I just said about bedding down with mass murderers, cutthroats, and thieves. But
I'm a pirate.
When you're in a light sleep and talk, you say another woman's name.
Ooh.
Not really?
Not now, Jolene.
Spicy. I like this hot goss.
And now, let us peek into the adventure itself, as our heroes have made it through the night, and Sir Bluto joins them for breakfast. Cold rations. What would you like to do?
Was that considered a long rest?
Why not a long rest?
Did you do anything that wasn't long resty?
I kept one eye open.
But even then, you had a period of inactivity for 8 hours.
Thesis feels much better.
I have put all my armor on.
Okay.
Thesis is going to dramatically stretch like she thinks humans do.
Okay.
And go,
that was enjoyable.
Wait, so you think like humans? I thought that there was some sort of story you had told me in the past that you are the consciousness of some other person.
Oh, no, I definitely have a little girl inside of me.
Okay.
But...
That was weird.
No, I have the spirit of a little girl inside of me, as, you know, a cursed abomination does. But Thesis is her own person, just has the memories of a young child.
Right. She stretch like a young child would.
Yeah.
Moving on.
Were you exhausted from your rest? I wasn't aware that Warforged required rest.
Oh, I had some ouchies.
It was a preventative maintenance period for you.
Yeah, sure. Whatever.
I see.
Sir Bluto, would you be so interested in making a deal?
What do you mean, a deal?
We could help you, maybe. Get free of Caraptus. Live your life. Do the things.
Yes.
Okay. You want to be free of Caraptus? That's what I'm hearing?
Well, yeah. I have a job to do, but we can allow you to pass through here.
Yeah, we need to go get the thing from down the hall, I assume.
I mean, yeah, we've had our breakfast with him, and he told us everything last time, so I think we just head out.
Okay.
So, Vulcan, what are you going to do once we're all done in this mountain?
Well, I will get whatever I'm looking for, turn it over to the person who is paying me the handsome price, and then... go on to the next bounty or contract or whatever it may be.
Are you saving for something?
Wherever the road takes me.
What about you, Zuvus? What are you going to do after all this?
I will likely go back to my court and wait for the next assignment that I will be put on.
All right. See, I'm trying to become a real person. That's a weird one.
Has a Warforged ever become a person before?
Well, there's got to be a first time.
Perhaps in the future, I can investigate it with my alchemy and see if there's ever... been any ancient alchemy ways to change a warforged.
That would be very nice of you to check your little library or whatever you look into.
It is not little nor a library, but I will take no offense and I will still help you in the future.
Is it like a room with lots of writing on the wall? Like
it is its own separate palace.
Oh, but it still contains books?
It contains literature and images.
Library.
Alchemy supplies.
What do tritons do? I mean, writing underwater doesn't... So there wouldn't really be books. Because that'd be... I wonder how they store their...
Grind it into seashells.
Huh?
Arrange coral. It's all coral arrangements. Yeah, so I would like to become a real person. That's my goal. Mainly because I cannot grow or change very much. That's very slow.
Vulcan's going to turn to Thasis and say, maybe one day you'll be a real person. And then he's going to take his fist and kind of clonk her on the head a couple times. And then say, oh, well, maybe real person with an asterisk.
Maybe you will be too.
You clong him on the head as well?
Yes.
It makes a very comparable sound.
I think it might be time we head out, unless you wish to reminisce more with Sir Bluto, but we've gotten all we need, I feel.
I will reminisce with him once we have completed this, released him from Caraptus, and we have all escaped this dungeon. And we can celebrate over an ale.
Cool. Everyone make an insight check. Looks like some pretty good rolls out here. Anybody beat a 20?
19.
19.
Oh, so close. You're gathering your things up to leave. There's a look from McCormack.
The tied up guy.
Yeah, he's probably not tied up any longer. He was just tied up at the time, right? McCormack and Bluto. There is a look given from McCormack to Sir Bluto, but it is largely an inscrutable look that you would have needed that 20 in order to achieve. But you guys could have gotten there, so.
Is that something I could use Flash of Genius for?
What does Flash of Genius let you do?
I believe it lets you add...
You get to add your intelligence modifier, I do believe, to any roll of a die per long or short rest or whatnot.
Yeah, you can add it to an ability check or saving throw. But I feel like this isn't... I have four of them that I can use. You can use this feature a number of times equal to your intelligence modifier, minimum of once. You regain all expended uses when you finish a long rest.
There you go.
So since I have four, I might as well use one.
Okay.
So that makes it 23.
So you know that McCormack will mean Sir Bluto harm when he can manage it. He does not feel that he has the support of the people or the other seven human cut purses and thieves, but that he wants to do Sir Bluto harm because of this interaction with you three people.
I'm going to relay that information in a hushed tone to my two comrades. I've just noticed something between McCormack, and I believe that as soon as we leave and he has an opportunity, he will bestow harm against Sir Bluey.
Should we bring him with us?
I think we either force him to come with us or we dispose of him.
Those would be the two logical options. It all depends on which path we want to take.
If we bring him with us, then we will never be able to rest together.
I meant Sir Bluey.
Oh. If we bring Sir Bluey with us and leave McCormack with the rest of the party, the rest of their party has also turned on him, so he will likely cause trouble for them anyways.
I worry about Sir Bluey's combative abilities, given his age.
That is ageism.
How old is Sir Bluto?
Yeah, like late 50s, early 60s.
He's not that old.
Tell your mom that you said that.
Does my mom look like a fighter to you?
Yes.
The choice is not mine. Sir Bluto is your friend.
Sir Bluto, may we have a word?
Yes, before you go.
I believe if we leave you here, harm will come upon you.
By the other adventurers in the dungeon, as it were?
By McCormack.
I find that hard to believe. I'll keep one eye open, but I have been for quite some time.
We just want to ensure your safety and that when we break this hold that Caraptus has, that you are once again free and not sentenced to death.
Oh, my dear Zuvi. Zuvi, you are too kind to me. I thank you for your concern. I will deal with McCormack. accordingly.
If you are sure, our group is always open to you, or we can assist with disposal of him if needed.
I cannot go at this time further into the dungeon or elsewhere. This is my designated place. If I were to deviate from that, I don't doubt that Caraptus will know. Indeed, he may already know that you have the key and I yet live. So, nonetheless, if you hold the key in your hand, you will see the outline of the door.
Horse now?
He blows out his mustaches.
Mustaches?
Yeah.
The two sides.
A big, gigantic broom of a mustache.
Oh.
It's just meant to infer that he has a lot of mustache.
Ah.
Based on that, and that we've warned him of McCormick's plan, or thoughts.
Yeah.
I think we feel comfortable enough to proceed.
Cool.
Through the next door.
What do you do with the key?
He's advised to hold it forward, so I will hold it in my palm.
Yeah.
And I'll hold it out in front of me.
Sure, yeah. You feel it tingle, and then suddenly a glow stretches through minor cracks in the wall across from you in the shape of a door.
Cool.
Only the holder of the key can see the shining crack.
What's over there?
We're going to assume that Vulcan has his eyes upon Zuvus as Zuvus does this, and Zuvus's eyes, how does Zuvus's expression change that tells everybody, you see something no one else can?
His face gets really wide, like his eyes open wide.
Yeah.
And his jaw drops a little bit, like kind of in awe. And then he slowly walks towards the wall where there's no, like for everyone else, there's nothing there. And he just starts touching the outline of the door.
Nice. You can see a larger glowing hole set to one side of the inside of this rectangle of light.
Are we ready to move on to the next area?
There's nothing here. You're just petting the wall. What was in those rations? I mean, is that fair?
I don't eat.
Right. That was...
Trust me. There is a door here. And if we are prepared, I will open it.
I'm ready.
I guess so. Open. And then Falcon goes in air quotes. The door.
Open says me.
I will insert the key into the keyhole.
Absolutely. Yep. The door suddenly goes click just by putting the key into the door. And yes, a door suddenly appears made of stone and then is openable on silent hinges.
Zuvus, you're good at opening doors.
Zuvus just shoots a I told you so look at Vulcan.
Okay, I'm sorry. You're just standing there petting a wall and I don't see anything. You're like, no, there's a door here. See?
Now Vulcan's jaw is apparently dropped a little bit, like, ooh, magic.
Well, you don't see that every day.
That's correct. Can we see into this next room, or is it more
darkness? It is not a room. It is a long corridor stretching before you.
Ooh. I think Zuvus will proceed quietly and carefully.
Okay, in the front?
Zuvus is going to grab Vulcan by the wrist.
Yep.
And try and push him in front.
Sure.
Of Zuvus, so that Vulcan goes first.
Oh, yes. Push me through the hole in the wall first.
You have the most armor and can take the most hits because of your thick head.
What armor do you speak of? I'm just, I this is out of character. I have no armor.
He nips out. Your thick head.
Fine. Vulcan's gonna reluctantly go first.
Do I need to put you two in a timeout?
If you'd put me in a timeout, I would just start the clock again.
Okay.
Let's go.
Let's go into the unknown that we don't know.
It's a very narrow, 5 foot narrow, long corridor stretches out before you. It is not very tall. It is 6 feet tall.
Nice.
Who is taller than 6 feet?
Not I.
Me.
Yeah, I think I am too.
I am 6'1".
And horniness over there.
I'm going to say at least 6'5".
Yeah.
With my horns and my wings.
Not a comfortable walk, horny winged guy down this very tight. I don't know how much claustrophobia you have.
I'll say a little.
Yeah.
But I'm definitely, the tips of my wings and my horns are scraping the walls and the roof, and I'm hunched over, much like I am in real life.
Thankfully, there are no traps or pitfalls or horrible things to encounter on this long 100-foot walk before it turns sharply to the left 90 degrees and continues for another 80 feet.
Oh.
In pitch darkness, tight enclosed, musty scented area. However, it is not particularly dusty.
I just realized that after a long rest, because I'm an alchemist, I get to make alchemist things, but we've never done a long rest, so I forgot.
Well, you could have started the game with alchemist things before you. So was there something you wanted to do?
No, I'm just saying I just remembered because right. We've never had a long rest and I've never had to do it.
Okay, but rather than justify why you forgot, is there something you wanted to do?
No, I'll do it the next time we have one.
If ever?
If ever.
Okay, because I think you don't even, do you have any infusions currently?
When I finish a long rest, I can produce a number of elixirs in empty flasks I touch. As an action, I can expel one spell slot to create one elixir in a touched empty flask. What it does is there's a list, so I have to roll a d6, and whichever I get, that's the type of elixir I get. So I automatically get to create two elixirs after finishing a long rest. I can take an action and expend a spell slot to create one. So after a long rest, I get two.
Okay.
So I guess I could just roll two d6s and just have two elixirs.
Sure. Do you have two empty bottles?
Yeah, my backpack.
Spending a white gem for two empty bottles?
Yeah.
Okay, you have six empty bottles.
Yay, six empty bottles. And then I'll use two of them.
That's all you can do, right? So.
Yeah. So I now have an elixir of transformation and an elixir of boldness.
Okay. What does the elixir of transformation do?
The drinker's body is transformed as if by the alter self spell. The drinker determines the transformation caused by the spell, the effects of which last for 10 minutes.
Cool.
And then boldness is the drinker can roll a d4 and add that number to every attack roll and saving throw they make for the next minute.
Wow.
That's a pretty good one.
Cool. That's pretty dope.
You continue to walk down this corridor, Vulcan, and it stops at a stone wall at the other end. There's nothing there.
We appear to have run into a dead end.
Yeah. Take this key and hold it out and see if a door appears as it did when we entered this passage.
Yeah, Vulcan's going to take that deal.
You take the key and you hold it in your palm. And yes, exactly the same thing that Zufus was able to see before illuminates before you as a line of light appears on the wall, forming a door-like rectangle. And you can see a little hole glow a little bit brighter on the inside of that rectangle.
This key is quite handy. I've never really seen a whole lot of magic before, so this is a fairly new experience for me. But unless we wish to go back that long and joyous ride that we were on, we shall surge onward. He's going to open the door.
Sounds great. You open the door. It is back to the T intersection. Down to your left, you can see the door that opened up on the six kayaks that you, room you had encountered before, and forward a little bit to the left is the other side of that T intersection, which is just down from the slip and slide room. So the those two elixirs that you've created, they last until the end of your next long rest.
And then once they're empty, I can use those bottles again.
Yep.
Just rinse them out with some dish soap.
Oh, and then so if you wanted to make more of those elixirs,
slot.
Yeah, but not now. It's during
the long rest or after the long rest. And that's the thing. I have so few spell slots, I don't think I would use a spell slot to make more. Although they are pretty cool.
So, transformation. Just, you know, I believe the alter self spell could make the Warforged over here look human.
Oh, cool.
Not real human.
But it would only last a minute.
10 minutes.
Yeah.
Could 10 minutes, alter self, you would look human, no longer look like the porcelain doll that you are.
Cool.
So it's almost, it was a random roll of the die after you had brought that up. And it just seems to have that quality associated with it. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's cool.
Think of it like a free trial.
Yeah. Could prestidigitation make them look? Ah, oh, that's too bad.
No, that like a minor momentary thing. Minor illusion could help. But alter self is the spell that's being acted here. That's literally what that does.
I'm going to give it to you as a gift.
Before your next rest.
That's a good opportunity for roleplay if you felt like it.
Yeah.
It's very Pinocchio / Data from Star Trek.
Vulcan, describe how you feel and what happens when you open the door and can get out of this corridor that you've just spent like 180 feet walking down.
So as soon as he goes through the door, wings outstretched and he groans. That was the worst thing that I have been in for quite some time. After he stretches out, he relaxes a bit and gains his bearings while the other two come through the door.
Zufus will go through the door behind Vulcan. You stretch too. You're short. You have to.
I think
I just move my neck side to side because I just had to hold my head down a little bit. So I just stretch it a little bit.
Mm. Yeah, Thaces is just going to walk out. I'm short.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're like, that was so roomy.
Yeah, it was fine.
Down to the right is a door that you've seen before, did not open previously.
We should try this door, hey?
I don't see why not. We haven't gone through it yet. Does the key do anything else, Zubas?
As far as I'm aware, it was to open those secret passages to get us to the next area. It may come in handy again, I'm not sure.
We're not going down the kayaks again, right?
Unless we would like to get back to Sir Bluey. Oh, I guess not.
We could just use the key.
Yes. Although it was quite fun, don't you think?
It was somewhat enjoyable. But nonetheless, let us venture into this new door that...
So when we kick Caraptus's butt, could we turn this place into a dungeon-based theme park?
That sounds like a wonderful idea. And I'm sure I could get an endorsement from the royal family.
I'm just thinking the slide, the kayak, it's fun.
Before we go through the door, can I try and listen on the other side of it?
Well, first, the door that you just went through closes on silent hinges. And when you look back, there's no door there at all. In fact, you're like shocked because you know what that door looked like. You've held the key and it is disconcerting a little bit how seamless that door closes. And you walk down, take a look at the door. This door is nicer than some of the other doors you've encountered in this dungeon so far, because there haven't been too many of them, and a lot of them were waterlogged and whatnot. So what's nice? Can we describe this door that we're about to go through? It's got kind of a watery motif, if that helps at all, in describing it.
It's lined in gold.
Ooh, okay.
It has a tile mosaic of a sea and... You know, like you can see kind of like the waves cresting, and then down below there's like coral and fishes and things like that. And above is like the sky. It's like the what you would see if you could see a cross section of an ocean.
On this mosaic, there are various gemstones meant to represent like light reflecting from the sun off the water and stuff like that. And various sea life is represented by different gemstones as well. It's very ornate.
Cool. There's a wave that protrudes out of the door itself as a handle, with the little clicky thing is a turtle on the top of the wave is the thing you can depress to pull the door open.
So can I hear anything happening on the other side? There's nothing.
Let's go.
Vulcan, feel free.
You go first.
Fine.
You go, girl.
Vulcan just shakes his head and pushes down on the turtle and... opens the door.
The door opens and you are looking out and down into an enormous chamber defined by terraced steps that ring the entire area and descend towards a central enclosure. A few feet south of the door, water laps at the edge of the stone floor, and looking to the side, you can see that the ring of the terrace that lies beyond is a 10-foot deep ring of water, held in by a nearly transparent wall. Another of these watery steps in the terrace is somewhat lower than the first, and at the level in between these aquariums, the terrace steps are dry, but the area is still enclosed by a glassy wall like the others.
Is there a way down?
No.
I'm just going to cast a web from one point down to the next and we can climb down.
Yeah, it just seems like why build an aquarium that's not easy to actually go through? Weirdos. That was just my internal commentary as you were reading. But yes.
So how do we get down?
Do we need to just like go on a tour of the fishes? Maybe there's a game to spot the most guppies?
Make a perception check, everyone. How did we do?
So good. We got a 5.
12.
4.
Okay, so there's like, there is some movement in each of the terraced enclosures beyond the one of the, that you're standing in, which has like these, it's so funny. The area you're standing right now has like large 5-foot square tiles. So basically the map that I've laid out before you, the area that you're standing in right now has 5-foot square tiles. That's literally what your characters can see. And then in each of those subsequent rooms or areas of terraced steps down, you can detect a little bit of movement just at the edges of your torchlight and whatnot.
Mm-hmm. Would you not fly and observe Vulcan?
Suppose I could. Is there enough room in this
It's 20 feet up where you are right now to the roof. So I'm sure you could fly out and around a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll do that. A little scouting.
All right. Just make an easy athletics check to not like fall in the water. Something ridiculous.
Oh my God.
How did you do?
10 total.
Yeah, you're fine.
Jeez.
So you fly around and you make an additional perception check with this changed in vantage.
15.
Yeah, you definitely see some crayfish in the water around the top tier, the top layer. You can't really see any of the other. There's definitely movement in the subsequent land terrace enclosure, but you can't really see anything else deeper or lower at this point.
So Vulcan's going to do that scouting mission and come back. There appears to be aquatic life, crayfish and the like, but nothing else that I can really see.
Were they giant crayfish or normal crayfish?
They were larger in size.
Do you think that they're delicious, not that I can eat?
I would expect that they are very, very delicious.
Are you hungry?
Yes.
Are we going to go fishing?
I would not be against it.
This is like a work vacation.
I would agree. This seems to be my happy place.
But it's the water that has the 10-foot wall, right?
There's 10-foot walls at each stage of the...
Yeah. So is there...
After this one, there's 10-foot walls.
So this one, there's the beach. So there's no wall between us and the water.
Correct.
And does the water hit the wall's edge? Like if we went into the water, we could easily go down the wall?
You'd have to like grab onto the other edge of that aquarium and pull yourself up off the water.
And then drop 10 feet.
Then 10 feet. Mm-hmm. Well, you could actually drop like 20 feet. Yeah, it would be a 20-foot fall.
Oh, because the wall is 10 feet and the drop is 10 feet?
Yep.
Mm. So we could go into the water, pull ourselves up on the wall and go to the next level. It could be dangerous. We could hurt ourselves. But I'm not sure what our other options are other than flying down.
I'm just going to misty step.
Can you see the bottom?
You can only misty step 30 feet, right?
Yeah.
Or I could attempt to cast my web from one wall to another. I don't know how successful that would be.
Well, it's worth a try if you wanted to try and climb down these bad boys.
You're a Triton, right?
Yeah.
So what is one thing that a Triton can do?
Talking to them? Yeah. Well, and that's why I was trying to figure out if it was like what we... So are they giant or like normal?
They are giant crayfish. They are 8 feet big.
Here, I was thinking they were just like bigger normal ones.
Giant crayfish.
Well, now that I know they're giant, I will probably step into the water and try. Well, the problem with Emissary of the Sea, though, is I can send things to them.
You can communicate to them.
I can't understand
Not
them
necessarily
back.
Understand them back. That's correct.
Yeah. So I'll maybe talk to my comrades.
But I don't
a
know
bit.
If you've got any spells or anything or whatnot that allow you to, as an alchemist, because that's not something I spent too much time looking at.
Like understanding?
Mm-hmm.
No.
I can attempt to send a message to these creatures, but I don't know if it will be assistance, and I'm not sure what message that would be.
Are you friends or food?
We would need to convey a message that doesn't require response.
Oh.
They may speak, but if they do not, I will
maybe
not be able
get
to.
Out of the way in case we fall in.
I can try and ask them if they can aid us in this puzzle that we are approaching.
Becoming crayfish stepstones?
Yes. They are quite large from what I understand from Vulcan.
That is correct. Quite large indeed. But if you think that sending a message to these creatures...
You talking about lobster large or like you large?
Larger than I.
Oh, well, I could walk on one of those.
Well, Zuvas, you have our blessing to communicate with these creatures if you so wish.
Simple idea. So I'm going to step into the water. Just because that creates the link.
Sure.
And I'm just going to think to them, we are your friends. Can you aid us through this path?
Okay. So you start to get rushed because there's 6 crayfish in this part of this area.
Okay.
They look hungry. Uh-oh. You broadcast this message. Make a persuasion check. Just, I want to see what this looks like.
16.
Do you want to add your...
Yeah, sure. Flash of genius.
Flash of genius to this. What is the total then?
20.
Okay, with a 20, you've absolutely conveyed like, whoa, okay, hey, well, and the leader swims forward. How do we know this one is the leader other than the fact that it swims forward? It has some sort of marking or differential between it and the others. What is that difference?
One of its claws is broken.
There's a broken claw and it still gets to be the leader?
Yeah, because it's seen it. It's seen the stuff, man. It's left. Yeah, it's like there's a chunk missing.
Sure.
On the top of the left claw.
It looks like it has a medallion around its neck.
Like its mottling color.
Yeah.
Makes it look like it has a medallion. That's cool. I like that too. Anything else, Marie Claire?
It's just like way bigger than the other ones.
Sure. Mm. I like that too.
Sexual dimorphism.
All right. It swims forward, looks you up and down, and it pokes its head up out of the water, cocks its head one side or the other, looking at the other two, looks down at you, and it says, you here bringing us food, man?
Right.
This concludes this episode of Tavern Tales, a curated Dungeons & Dragons 5e game set in the Tales of the Yawning Portal adventure module by Wizards of the Coast. Our intro and outro music is the song Tavern Tales by the Bad Billy Band. You can find out more about the Bad Billy Band on iTunes or at www.badbillyband.com or follow them on Twitter at Bad Billy Band. Thanks for listening. Please feel free to leave us a review on iTunes or find us on Twitter at Tavern_Tales. We'll be back next week with more of the adventure.